Luke 4, verse 31. And Jesus went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed authority. And in the synagogue there was a man who had the spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice,
"Ha! What do you have to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God."
But Jesus rebuked him, saying,
"Be silent and come out of him."
And when the demon had thrown him down in their midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. And they were all amazed, and said to one another,
"What is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out."
And reports about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. And he arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they appealed to him on her behalf. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she rose and began to serve them. Now, when the sun was setting, all those who had anyone who was sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying,
"You are the Son of God."
But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew he was the Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desolate place. And the people sought him and came to him and would have kept him from leaving them. But he said to them,
"I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose."
And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. Luke 5. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake. But the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking to them, he said to Simon,
"Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch."
And Simon answered,
"Master, we've toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets."
And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying,
"Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord."
For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so also was James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon,
"Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men."
And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Let's just give those who have been reading a round of applause. Wonderful. Well, last week when I was preaching on a New Year theme with the subject, "What clothes will you wear in 2022? And God was clearly challenging people last week to put on those clothes of compassion, of kindness, of humility, of gentleness, of patience and forgiveness and love in 2022. This week, this Sunday, we're back in my series, which I'm doing when I'm speaking on the Gospel of Luke. And the overall title is Jesus is for Everyone. And today, my title is Jesus Astonishes People. Jesus Astonishes People. From Luke 4, 31 through to 5, 11. Earlier in Luke, Jesus was in Nazareth, his hometown. He'd launched his manifesto from Isaiah 61, where he had read those words, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And when Jesus started saying that this message that he was bringing, that he was fulfilling from Isaiah 61, when he began to say that it included the Gentiles, the people of Nazareth drove him out of their city. In fact, they tried to kill him. And in verse 31, we find that Jesus has traveled around about 24 miles from the heights of Nazareth down to Capernaum on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. And at Capernaum, we see Jesus' manifesto begin to be fulfilled as he begins to teach the people and to work mighty miracles. And in each one of these little stories from Capernaum, people react in astonishment to Jesus and what he says and does. And we keep on finding that same reaction, that people are astonished by Jesus. So first of all, we see in chapter 4, verses 31 to 32, astonishing teaching. And it says, "And he went down," this is Jesus, "went down to Capernaum, a city in Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath, and they were astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed authority." Jesus taught people in the synagogue, on the Sabbath, wherever he went. Teaching was at the heart of Jesus' ministry. But what was so astonishing? What was so different about Jesus' teaching that people reacted with this astonishment? Well, we're told he spoke with authority. It was though he was speaking the very words of God. And of course, he was speaking the very words of God because he was the Son of God. All the other teachers, the regular teachers and leaders of the synagogue that people listened to could only teach, they could only explain the Old Testament law and the prophets. Their authority was the Old Testament. They didn't have any authority in and of themselves. But when Jesus came along and started teaching the people, it was a different thing. It was as though God was himself was speaking to them. He said the sort of words that you would expect God to speak. And that's why Jesus' words have never gone out of date. And we know from the beginning of Luke chapter 4 that Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. So his words were inspired and applied by the Holy Spirit. And so people react in astonishment. Jesus' words were living and active. They were sharper than a two-edged sword. They cut to the heart. They were the inspired word of God. And people were astonished when they heard Jesus teach and preach. His words had power. His words had authority. And you know, God's words, Jesus' words, are still astonishing today. And we need to grasp that. Jesus' words have power and authority today. The Bible is unlike any other book in the world. It is God's words. And the words in the Bible, the words are the word of God. And these words have the power and authority that can speak into our life, can speak into my life, can speak into your life. If someone today is filled with the Holy Spirit and they are teaching and preaching the Word of God, their words have a power and authority beyond ordinary words. And that is why as a church we teach and preach God's Word, not our own words, not our own ideas. And you know, God still speaks through his word today. His word is still sharper than any sword. God's word can speak to you today. His word applied by the Holy Spirit can convict you, can challenge you, can convert you, can guide you, can direct you, can encourage you, can comfort you, and so the list could go on. And the question I want to ask you today is, will you allow the astonishing word of God to speak into your life today? You know, if you want to speak it to speak into your life, you need to be reading it. You need to be devouring it. No, when I was growing up, I thought the Bible was the most boring book around. It was full of old-fashioned language. I used to have to read the authorized version. I didn't understand it. It meant nothing to me. But when God's Spirit began to work in my life, I found that God was speaking to me directly from his words, the Bible. And I would read whole chunks of the Bible because God was speaking to me through it. And that's the astonishing word of God. Allow God's word to speak to you today. Allow God's word to astonish you today. So Jesus astonished people at Capernaum with his teaching. Secondly, we see astonishing deliverance. In verses 33 to 37 of chapter 4, Jesus' astonishing teaching provokes an astonishing response. So as Jesus teaches, this is all he's doing, he's just teaching in the synagogue, a demon within the congregation, within one of the congregation, began to react. The people were listening to Jesus, were astonished by his teaching, but they didn't realize who he was. But the demon certainly did, didn't he? He couldn't keep quiet. And he suddenly shouts out, "Ha! What have you got to do with us, Jesus, son of Nazareth, or Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." And Jesus commands the demon to be quiet and come out of the man. And the demon comes out of the man. And verse 36 says, "And they were all amazed, they were all astonished, and said to one another, 'What is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out.'" Astonishing things happen when Jesus is around. Jesus has an authority and a power that is beyond anything the people have previously experienced. Just imagine the scene for a moment. People have gone into the synagogue, just the same as you've come to St. Stephen's this morning. They were expecting a normal, religious, orderly, quiet service. Jesus gets up and he speaks, or he sat down in actual fact, and speaks with astonishing authority. And then mayhem erupts, doesn't it, in the middle of the service. One of the regular synagogue attenders, I shan't pick out anyone here, but you know, someone who's there probably every week, you know, a nice religious person, you know, comes along every week and doesn't cause a fuss. All of a sudden, he starts shouting out these words. A demon starts manifesting from this regular synagogue attender. And he's saying in a strange voice, probably, "Jesus is the Holy One of God." And Jesus there and then in the synagogue rebukes the demon, commands him to come out, and the man gets thrown down on the ground by the demon, probably convulsing, but leaves the man unharmed. Now, I guess if that happened at St. Stephen's while I was preaching, we wouldn't be talking about the weather at the end of the service, or the football results from yesterday, or, you know, what we're going to have for Sunday dinner. We would be astonished, wouldn't we? We would be astonished by what God had done. We would be astonished by how the service had been disrupted. Some of us might not be too happy. Know that you wanted to come to a nice quiet service and all of a sudden there was a demon manifesting. And what was that all about? That was a bit scary. And I thought, well, I won't go back to that church. Others of you say, wow, you know, God was at work. This is phenomenal. This is great. You know, God is doing something in our midst. But you see, when God is at work, astonishing things happen. You know, God is never boring. You know, I grew up thinking that Christianity was boring. And I went to an extremely boring church where they've been doing the same thing and singing the same hymns and saying the same things since 18-something or another. You know, when God is at work, it's never boring. Being a Christian should never, ever be boring because you never know what God's going to do next. We don't even know what he's going to do in our lives, let alone in the lives of those around us. So when God is at work, astonishing things happen. Demons get disturbed. Normal religious services get disrupted. And you know, in the Gospels, when you read the Gospels, you find that Jesus makes a habit of disturbing religious services and causing uproar by healing and delivering and saving people in the middle of a orderly service. I wonder how you would cope by his Spirit if Jesus disturbed our services. I want to say to you, I would far rather have Jesus disturb the order of our services than to leave us alone, wouldn't you? I would far rather be astonished by Jesus and his mighty works than be bored by the same routine. But we must make sure it's from God and not man. That it is Jesus who's working, not man whipping up a crowd. How many of you have experienced or witnessed demons or deliverance? Put up your hand if you've ever witnessed demons or deliverance. Quite a few of you. I have. And you know, when you have dealt with demons and deliverance, you never doubt the reality and the power of the evil one. But you also never doubt the power and the authority of Jesus and his blood to deal with demons. Praise God. Jesus said in his manifesto, he had come to proclaim liberty to the captives, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. The astonishing deliverance just a few days later after he said those words at Capernaum, when he was here in Capernaum, was a fulfillment of Jesus' manifesto. But thirdly, we also find then astonishing healing. In verse 38 to 44 of chapter 4, Jesus leaves the synagogue where he's just delivered the man from a demon. He enters Simon's house, and Simon's mother-in-law is ill with a fever. Jesus rebukes the fever. It left her, and she is immediately healed and able to serve them lunch. So she's lying in bed, gets healed, gets up, serves them lunch. Wonderful. And at the end of the day, we find that people with sick friends and relatives bring them to Jesus, and all night, notice that in the story, all night Jesus is laying hands on and healing each one of them, it says. More demons come out of people and are rebuked by Jesus, we're told that. In the morning, having been doing that all night, Jesus tries to leave Capernaum to get some time alone and rest, but the people are still coming, and they actually try to prevent him leaving the village or the town. But Jesus says these words to them, I must heal and deliver people in other towns as well. No, that is not what Jesus said. We can sometimes think that's what he said. It's very interesting what Jesus said. He didn't say to them, I must heal and deliver people in other towns as well. His main mission was actually not to heal and deliver people from demons. Jesus said, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns as well, for I was sent for that purpose. So the main purpose of Jesus was not the miracles. They came as a result of his teaching and preaching the word of God. His main purpose, his main priority was to share the good news of the gospel of the kingdom. And one of the results of that is people ended up getting healed. When Jesus is at work, the power of God is released for healing of people. And that is the same today, I believe. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when Jesus is at work through his Spirit on earth today, people get healed. The grip of sickness in their lives is released. How many of us know someone who's been healed by Jesus through the Holy Spirit? Put up your hand if you've known someone. Probably a similar number to those who've seen or witnessed demons and deliverance. There are so many testimonies of healing. It is so encouraging. And you know, there's absolutely no point in praying for sick people if you don't believe that Jesus has the power to heal people today. The people in Capernaum were so astonished to see and hear of the healing of Simon's mother-in-law and the deliverance of the man from demons that they bring all their sick relatives, they bring all their sick friends to Jesus, and they're so eager to bring them. And Jesus was healing and delivering people all night. When God is at work in power, you won't be looking at your watch waiting for the church service to end. You won't. You would love it to last forever because the presence of God there and the power of God is there. And he's working in our midst. And we say, Lord, come and work in our midst more. Disrupt our services more with the power of God and the presence and the work of God and the word of God as well. And then fourthly, we find the astonishing catch of fish. In the next chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. Verse 9 tells us, Simon and all who were with him were astonished, that same word, so you got astonished at every point here, that Simon and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And this great little story starts again with Jesus teaching the people. People are so astonished at his teaching, they're pressing in on Jesus. He's being pushed back into the water because they're so eager to hear the word of God. Nothing, no miracles have taken place at this point. They're just listening to the word, the astonishing word of God. And they're pressing him back. So Jesus gets into the boat. But it raises the question, how desperate, how hungry am I to hear God speaking to us through his word in 2022? But this time, Jesus' preaching results in a demonstration of Jesus' power and authority over nature. His power and authority over the natural world. The catch of fish are not a coincidence. They didn't all suddenly decide, I'm going to swim that way and get caught in that net. It is a miracle. It's not a coincidence. And it shows Jesus' authority over the natural world. Simon the fisherman immediately knows this is no coincidence. Jesus, the astonishing teacher, the astonishing miracle worker, is none other than God himself. He is the promised Messiah. He is the Christ. He is the Lord. And Simon falls on his knees before Jesus the Lord. He confesses his sin and total inadequacy in the presence of God and the man Christ Jesus. See, Jesus still has power over the natural world today. Did you realize that? Jesus can still work miracles and change world events. He can still still the storm. He can still multiply food. He can still provide miracle crops. He can still fill nets with fish. He is still the miracle working God today. Amen? We can pray for Jesus to work miracles big and small in the natural world today. How many of us have seen the power of God in answer prayer? Maybe in small ways, but ways in which we've demonstrated God's power over the natural world. Just put up your hand. I certainly have. God answers prayer. But what's really important about this story is we see how Simon moved from being astonished by Jesus to responding to Jesus. And that leads me to my final point. And it's a question. How will you respond to the astonishing Jesus? There's no doubt that Jesus astonished everyone who met him and heard him speak. There is no doubt that Jesus is still astonishing today. He is still teaching today. He's still delivering and healing people today. He's still working miracles, small and great, in the natural world today. He's still answering prayers today. How will you respond to the astonishing Jesus? Will you just be astonished, but unmoved? Will you hear and see the work of Jesus around you today, but put it down to coincidence or something a bit spooky, or just for those religious nutters who go to that St. Stephen's church and seem to have taken it over from the respectable Anglicans? Or will you respond to the astonishing Jesus today? Will you accept that Jesus is the Son of God? That he has all authority in heaven and earth? Will you accept that he is awesome, that he is holy, that he is almighty? Will you bow the knee before him? Will you acknowledge that you are sinful? Will you receive Jesus into your life? Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay the price and the punishment for everything you have ever said and thought and done that was wrong? Will you receive his forgiveness into your life? Will you make him Savior and Lord of your life? Will you dedicate the rest of your life to Jesus as Simon did here? Will you give up everything to follow Jesus? Will you become a fisher of men? Will you become an evangelist for Jesus? So in summary, Jesus astonished people with his astonishing teaching, his astonishing deliverances, his astonishing healings, his astonishing power over nature. How will you respond to the astonishing Jesus today? Let's just pray together, shall we? And as we pray, I'm going to ask Josephine and the team just to come back up on stage, and we're going to finish with a worship song. Father God, Lord, we want to thank and we want to praise you for Jesus today. Lord, the astonishing Jesus. Forgive us, Lord, that, Lord, when we've been around church for a while, Lord, it becomes ordinary. Lord, forgive us for those times, Lord, when it's just been about a church service. Lord, when we have not focused on Jesus as we should. Lord, astonish us afresh. Lord, with mighty works of power, that, Lord, we would bow the knee to Jesus, acknowledging that we are sinful, but that you are pure and holy. Lord, help us to receive you afresh into our lives today, into my life today. Lord, help me to receive your fresh forgiveness into my life. Lord, help us, help me to make you Savior and Lord of my life. Lord, to be prepared to give up everything to follow Jesus and to become a fisher of men. Lord, to share this good news of Jesus Christ and his death on the cross for sin, and his resurrection victory over sin and death and hell, to share it with all around us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.